You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Jumping Knee Pod, a modern-day All Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm Jessica, your host, and today with me is the wonderful Lyric.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you said, like, yes, I'll join. You're the first new person I've had in forever, so I'm very excited that we're adding someone new to the Jumping Knee Pod family.
You know, I get a lot of podcast requests these days. And it feels, because it feels like my account blew up overnight a lot of times, and I reject 99.9% of them, either because like I'm tired or I just don't have, or I don't know people, or it's just like I just don't feel like it. It's only but so many times I can talk about AEW as much as I, you know, enjoy the product, you know. But there's never been a time that somebody has invited me to talk about All Japan that I have declined. Never been a time, and there probably never will. I was so excited. And it's so crazy. This was sitting in my inbox. It was at a time where I had like several other things, and I was just like, oh no, I'm not even reading the rest of that, but I'm doing this. So it was great. It was great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And we'll say, before we started recording, that Lyric and I have actually been in the same building watching All Japan. We just missed each other, but we've been in the same building watching it. So, yeah, we're real fans.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's get into the matches now. And we're going to start with day one. Suama defeated Rei Inoue in 9 minutes and 13 seconds. Cyrus and Jack Kennedy defeated Kurisho Tokyo Japan and Seigo Tachibana in 11 minutes and 34 seconds. Hideki Suzuki and Hikaru Sato defeated Shotaro Ishino and Ryuji Hijikata in 9 minutes and 53 seconds. Ren Ayabe, Ryzen Hayato, Riki Honda, and Yuma Anzai defeated Yuma Oyagi, Kento Miihara, Davey Boy Smith Jr., and Musashi in 19 minutes and 6 seconds. In the junior heavyweight title match, Naruki Doi defeated Dan Tamura in 17 minutes and 41 seconds. And in the main event, we had world tag team title match, Jun Saito and Rei Saito defeated Hokuto Omori and Kuma Arashi in 29 minutes and 54 seconds. For the junior title match, I thought Dan had a good shot of winning until I realized this show was a video on demand, and I'm like, nah, I changed my mind. Doi's retaining. I think it did suffer a bit not being live and a bigger show, and my thoughts on that like flow to the next two tag title matches because they were on video demand shows as well. I thought this was good but nothing spectacular, and I expected spectacular from them because I know how good of a wrestlers they are, and I know they can bring it out. And I don't know, this one just suffered. I think they have a better match, and actually I know they have a better match, so I'm looking forward to that in the future.
I agree. I'm big on Dan Tamura. When I first started watching All Japan, he was one of the standouts for me. I thought that, like, especially as far as junior heavyweight wrestlers, he reminds me a lot of Shibata from, I think, a foundational perspective. And yeah, this was not a great showing from him. I know he can do better. Like, I even really enjoyed, you know, the run that he did already have with the belt. And obviously we know what Naruki Doi can do. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. This just wasn't it. I know they have a better match in them. I will say I feel like ever since Dan Samira dropped the title, I'm not sure they've really cracked the code on how to maintain the momentum with him. I think the biggest focus has been obviously with the guys in Elpida, like getting them over, making them stars. And I think that that has really happened and they've done a really good job of that. And Honda, Yabe, Anzai, Hayato. But I think that Dan Tamura has kind of, he's still kind of floating for me in a lot of ways a bit. And I think it sucks because he's such a great talent. Obviously, it doesn't mean like his career's over or anything. But I do think, well, I could say more about that, I guess, later, about like how I felt about Hayato's junior title reign being a bit underwhelming. But yeah, I agree.
Dan's in kind of a weird spot. So many people want him to go heavyweight. And I gave my opinions on it last episode where I think he can go heavyweight, but not quite yet. I think the juniors still need him. So he's in this like weird just space of like, is he going heavyweight? Is he saying junior? Is he open weight? Should he win the junior champion? Because if he's going heavyweight, what's the point?
Yeah. But
I don't know.
I agree. I think obviously he has the size for it. I think it looks like he's gained a little bit more mass as well. But like you said, I do think that the junior division is not in a solid enough place. I think without him, they're still depending pretty heavily on veterans and freelancers. So until that changes, I don't think that they can comfortably say the junior division doesn't need Dan. But I can see. I do think there will probably be more of a space for him booking wise if he was a heavyweight to be in, like, you know, that conversation and maybe in even in the Triple Crown picture, you know, too. I think obviously it looks like we are rotating out like this same group of 6 to 8 guys, which is great, but it wouldn't hurt to, like, you know, add a fresh face in there. But like you said, it's a really weird position for, I think, for him right now. I don't think like either answer is like good, but it doesn't mean it's exactly bad. I think that even if they do move him up, he still has a little bit more work to do in the junior division, I think, before he can comfortably move to the next chapter.
Yeah, I totally agree. Moving on to the tag title match, I thought this was so good. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was so much fun. I don't think the Setos have had a bad tag team title match. And Kuma and Omori just make it so much fun. And they're just such a fun team. And after I saw Rey and Kuma go 101 in the Royal Road last month, all I wanted was more of them. And All Japan gave it to me. They were so nice. And they're like, here you go. Here's a tag team match with them. For Omori, I think he did pretty good here. I know there's a lot of different opinions on him. I do think he got lost in the shuffle a bit, especially when the younger generation starts to come through. But I still think he needs a little something extra. And I hope his faction, which he leads, gives him that, like that pushes him forward. And it seems like he is getting a bit more confident in his wrestling, in his like taunts. And now he's a leader. I think that's affecting his confidence as well, which like is a good thing. But something else I think could work for him is being a tag team specialist, moving more to the tag team division, because he's a good tag team wrestler. And if you saw last year his run with Katsuhiko Nakajima in Tag League, he was fantastic in that. And he actually won Tag League for his team. So that could be something in the future for Omori. I would like that.
Yeah, so my real introduction to him was Strongest Tag League last year and him teaming up with Nakajima, because I was a big Noah fan, big Axis fan. So coming in and he's teaming with him, and I saw him grow so much during that specific amount of time and confidence of being paired with Nakajima. And I think that, and it's so funny, I wrote this down today. I said, I'm trying to figure out if his performance ever since that run, is it his fault or is it my fault? Because I think that I had a very clear picture in my mind of where I expected him to go after that run. And because I don't think we got anywhere close to that, in my mind, it kind of feels like a failure. But I'm trying to figure out, like, is that me for placing too many expectations? Am I the only person who saw that vision? Because I feel like there was a vision there, but I don't think that it ever came to fruition, especially after, you know, the way that Nakajima ends up leaving the company and everything. So I'm not sure, but I do think that he has gained a lot of confidence. I do think that he would work as a tag team specialist. I completely agree. And maybe, you know, something else would come out of him, you know, as a leader. Like you said, it's so interesting now, because now that this whole younger generation is getting pushed, it's also, I mean, Amore's been, if I'm not mistaken, he has more experience than a lot of them, but it's still, his light bulb still has been waiting to go off. I think it's like for everything to click into place. So it's just it's a really interesting dynamic, because I do think like maybe he should become that tag team specialist, because as a singles guy right now, I don't foresee him standing out. Now as it relates to the Saito brothers, listen, I will sing these guys' praises until I have no voice. I am going to be a Saito's brothers truther. I've been saying this. I think that they have everything it takes to be considered one of the greatest tag teams in the world. And I think that the only reason that they aren't is because people might not know about them. But I think when you look at their progression over the past year, both as tag guys, but also becoming legitimate single top stars, of just absolutely incredible. And when you think about when they actually got into wrestling in their lives, in their 30s,
yeah,
these rock stars. These are actual rock stars. I love these guys. This was like one of the perfect fun matchups. And I think that they can do it all. Like they can run, they can work that really harsh bruiser style, but they can also work those comedy tinged matches. And like they can do a little bit of everything. I love this. It was fun.
Junior Ray have been on such a hot streak this year, like basically since he started. They had that little slip up when Ray injured his arm, but ever since he came back, it's just been nonstop in tag and singles. They're just taking it to the next level.
And also, too, when you look at that whole period of time, and that just further adds to I'm not going to say my GOAT conversation, but how great they are. When Ray went down at that time, I think it was a pretty clear consensus that he was the best singles wrestler out of the two of them. He was clearly the guy. Then June steps up. June steps up and becomes such a just outstanding. Then Ray comes back from injury and says, actually, forget this little brace on my arm. I have the healing powers of a superhero. Just absolutely outstanding. Just when you thought that you had them figured out, I think that's what I love about those guys, is because a lot of times when you have those big, tall, like, you know, those, honestly, people who are built like American football players, like those big guys, a lot of times they're one-dimensional. They can only work in, you know, certain scenarios that make them look strong, look like a killer. But no, these guys continue to just break all the bounds. They just continue to get better. They continue to expand their game too, of like both as tag and singles guys. And we haven't even begun to see their best. In my perfect world, I want them in World Tag League so bad. So bad. Just because I think that I think the world needs to know who they are. They are just absolutely just continuing to get better, and like they're so versatile. Amazing.
We love them on Jumping Nipo. Like, we have nothing negative to say about them. They have such a younger brother, older brother situation where like they have to be better than the other one. And you can see it when they wrestle and like the bets they make, like, you can't eat this if I beat you, or you can't drink if I beat you. It's just a sibling thing. And I just love it so much.
You know, while I was in Japan, one of my favorite matches, I think, of the entire week was getting to see them face each other. June versus Ray at the New Year's Eve show.
They're just so much fun. And just touching back on Omori, I just remembered something. Like, he has been All Asia Tag Champs before with Kodama back in, what was it, 2022? Maybe with Total Eclipse when that was a thing. And it was a really, really good reign. So he has that to back him up. And also something that might have slipped people's newsfeed because Oddman forgets about these belts, but he is now a six-man tag team champion with Cyrus and Kuma Arashi. They beat Tsuji, Hashimoto, and Yu. So they're tag team champions again. It's just if All Japan are going to use the belts this time. Because honestly, it seems like sometimes they just forget they exist.
Yes, they do. And I think that one thing that I love about All Japan, just the classic style of them, both classic and modern, and I think that they should really hone in on it, is the emphasis on tag and six-man wrestling. And I think that's why it could be such a special place for Omori to like really spread his wings, because I think that All Japan, the way that they utilize tag teams and put certain guys together, like, you know, being a top guy doesn't mean that you're not wrestling in a tag team. Being a top guy doesn't mean that you're not, you know, wrestling in a trios team. And so I really hope that they hone in on that. And I think that those six-man belts could really be a part of that. I mean, just look at New Japan. I think that one thing that they did do right, I think, over last year in the midst of a lot of up and down, is the usage of the six-man titles. I think that those ended up becoming some of the most important, the never six-man titles ended up becoming one of the most important sets of titles in the entire company. And in my opinion, probably the best six-man belts in the world last year. So I definitely think that they should really capitalize on the opportunity that they have with the six-man belts on Omori and those guys.
We're going to move to day two now. Seigo Tachibana defeated Rie Inoue in 7 minutes and 57 seconds. Shota Ishino, Dan Tamura, and Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Suwama, Hideki Suzuki, and Hikaru Sato in 12 minutes and 5 seconds. Cyrus defeated Kurishio Tokyo Japan in 3 seconds. Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, Hartley Jackson, and Jack Kennedy defeated Jun Sato, Rei Sato, Naruki Doi, and Senior Sato in 12 minutes and 52 seconds. Yuma Oyagi and Kento Miyahara defeated Ren Ayabe and Ruki Honda in 18 minutes and 37 seconds. And in the main event, we had the All-Asia Tag Team title match. Yuma Anzai and Raizen Hayato defeated Musashi and Seki Yoshioka in 21 minutes and 42 seconds. So, Derek, where do you want to start?
I'll start with the second to last match. I would like to say, starting off, is it's really nice to see Kento and Yuma team up again. I was like getting really scared. I know he's like all team, all Japan now. So I was just like, I get that. Cool. But the business tag has to last forever. I don't make the rules. But see, it just means a lot to me. And so we just have to keep it. So it's just nice to see them tagging up together again. And it's also, it's just so interesting. I think just the dynamics, because as it relates to age, Yuma is so close to the other guys. Like, I think, you know, the Elpida guys. But because of, like, where he's positioned in the company, he still kind of feels like a seasoned elder statesman in some ways, too. So it's always interesting to see him, like, the balance that he's really... Because it's hard to... It's easy to forget how young he still is and trying to make his way, like, you know, but because, you know, he's a 2-time, you know, triple crown winner at this point, but he's still in his 20s. It's just such a very interesting balance. So seeing that preview tag, seeing him up against those guys, it's always interesting for me.
Yeah, and when I saw Kento and Yuma tagging again, I'm like, oh, Japan, you can't do this to me. You can't keep bringing them together, breaking them up, because I've been watching this since 2019. That's when I started watching All Japan, and like these two were my guys. And it's just like, break up, go back together, break up, go back together. So seeing this, I was like, oh my God, they're not again. But it was fun. Like, I think these four guys, Ayabe and Honda and Kento and Yuma, just really good wrestlers. It was just a really fun match. Nothing too crazy, I think.
Yeah.
But it's just a tag preview for the Triple Crown match coming up later.
It did what it needed to do.
For Cyrus and Kurishio, that was insane. 3 seconds. Like, the thing is, if it's Jiro's fault. If he didn't like dive out of the ring and hit Cyrus, he could just wait in the ring. Referee would have rung the bell. Then they could have wrestled, but nah, he had to like jump in and it didn't work out in his favor. It was just 3 seconds because this was a video on demand show. So when I saw the results online, I'm just like, no, that's a mistake. That can't be.
Three seconds is absolutely insane. Like, that's just the pin.
Yeah.
That's just the pin. That's it.
Ugh. Like, they had a match in Champion Carnival that was really short. I think it was under 3 minutes as well. And that's when Jiro won. So this is like revenge. This is Cyrus's revenge. For the main event, All Asia Tag Team title match, like two shows in a row, two very good tag matches. I thought, I do have to admit, during the episode I did with Smiley, I said Anzai's too fancy for the All Asia tag belts. He's going to go for the world tag belts. And I was wrong, obviously. I just thought this match was great. I loved Seke and Hayato's moments together, them wrestling. They're so good. They just mesh so well. I like a program between them, even maybe for the junior belt. I thought that would be really fun. Anzai and Musashi, of course, they're great. Musashi is just such a good get for All Japan. He just helps the junior division so much. And like the tag division now, he's helped them so much too. There were really no low points or down points during this match. For Musashi and Seki, they lost, but I thought they had a great reign. If you look into the All Asia title, it's been like dark for the past 2 years. Like when Dan and Hikaru Saito lost the belts until they won it like 2 years later, that reign was terrible. It was just like a Sushi Onita and his death matches, and it was just so bad. If you haven't watched it, don't think it's good just because it has Onita in it.
Onita in the 2020s. Jesus.
It's rough.
Yeah, it's rough, man. It's rough. I think, so like the All Asia belts, I will say, since I've been watching, they have been very hit or miss, like, you know, constant game of it's so over, we're so back. But I do think we might actually be back. Just because at this point with All Japan, if they're putting a title, any type of title on Anzai, it's going to be a big deal. I think this was really good. I will say, I'm interested to see how this reign goes, more so from Hayato's perspective. I expected much more from him this year. And I don't think that my expectations have been met. Maybe I set them too high. But, like, I think I was expecting him to have, like, this big breakout year, you know, as a junior, to be the guy. And I'm not sure if that really has happened, even though he has had a run with the belt. And so I think that pairing him with, you know, Anzai for these All-Asia belts, I'm not saying it's sink or swim, but I do think it's going to be very interesting to see like how he rises to the occasion. Just because I do think like out of everybody from Elpida, I do think like he is impressed probably the least.
Yeah.
At least since the beginning of Champion Carnival. I would say from the beginning of Champion Carnival, when you think about like all of the change and progression we've seen out of, you know, Ayabe, Anzai, Honda, I do think I've probably been the most disappointed with Hayato.
No, I totally get it. Just thinking about it, I agree with you. I think there's two things that kind of hurt his year. That's Asuki being out, because they're really, really good together. And I just think every time they wrestle, they just get better and better. And another thing I complained about last episode, there's been no junior tournaments this year. So Hayato hasn't really got to show off like he's wrestling in, you know, the junior tag league or just the junior battle of glory. So I think it's really disappointing because it's all heavyweights this year. And Hayato is such a great wrestler and he's so good for the company and just everyone loves him. And I just think it just hasn't been his year this year.
I think there's also an argument to be had too. And I don't think like this is the only place where this is a problem. I think Noah kind of has this problem too of the junior scene isn't as pronounced in All Japan in 2024 to where being just a junior is enough. And I think like that goes back to what we were saying about Dan of even if you don't, maybe even like being in that open weight context just opens you up to more opportunities because like if you're in a company, right, where all the heavyweights, some especially all the heavyweights in your peer group, they're having the best years of their career. You know, we've had Royal Road Tournament, we've had Champion Carnival, all these great opportunities, right? But the juniors, you'd have no tournament, no real showcase, and you're just trying to, like, I guess, get over with whatever scraps that are left over. And plus, the other biggest junior in the division has been injured for, you know, over half the year. It's kind of hard to stand out. In addition to, I think the way to circumvent that is typically if you have partners, you know, where you can like show up in other companies, but we haven't really seen that. Like Hayato, like he's not popping up in Dragon Gate. He's not popping up at, you know, Junior Tag League or, you know, Best of the Super Junior, even though I do think that going forward, I think that those are potentially relationships worth investing in. I think now more than ever, especially in the midst of all that All Together madness earlier this year. Just because like I think specifically for junior heavyweight wrestling across Japan, I'm not saying it's dying, but I do think that collaboration is a really good way to circumvent some of these problems. And I think that All Japan probably got hit the hardest this year by not having anything for their juniors this year.
All Japan's kind of like cut themselves off from other companies. They're just using freelancers now. Yeah, so like we've had Doi and Fuminori Abe, and they're great wrestlers, but I just don't think they're enough for the juniors.
No, they're not. They're not. And honestly, like in my opinion, when I first heard about like all these relationships, as far as like all these organizations coming together, that's the first thing that I thought about of just like, okay, so what's All Japan going to be doing? You know, as far as the juniors of like, I was able to go to All Star Junior Festival in the US last year, and I thought like it was such a great concept, and obviously they did it in Japan as well. It's such a great concept, and I really wish that All Japan could have really taken part in it. Like I love the idea of actually having junior heavyweights from companies from all over the world get together and like you know have a tournament, have like, you know, these exhibitions, just because I think that junior heavyweight wrestling has always been something particularly special, I think, in the Puro scene. And it needs a renaissance in a lot of ways. So hopefully that's a 2025 goal.
Well, fingers crossed, definitely. After the tag team match, Ryu Inoue came out to challenge. And he brought out his tag team partner. It's Kento Miyahara. Like, out of all the people, his partner is Kento. And that just adds so much prestige to this belt now. It gives the belt, like, another boost I desperately needed. Kento hasn't held the belt since like 10 years ago. That was like his first and only time he held the All Asia Tag Team titles. So I'm just looking forward to this match so much. I think Kento and Inoue just have like the best younger brother, older brother dynamic. It's just so good.
I think even now too, of like now, if you pair that with what we know now about Inoue's like vendetta against Anzai, it makes it all even better. And I think also, too, of just All Japan, by putting over so many of their younger talent this year, out of that doesn't just happen alone by just, like, booking. And I think that Kento has been really instrumental in it. He's been very giving this year, very giving. And I was even thinking to myself earlier today of just, like, 2025, put all the belts on him, actually. This has been so great. He's been so awesome. I'm so glad that he's so selfless, and that's just a great ace that he is. He makes me feel a lot like Kenny Omega and AEW. I'm just like, this is so great. I'm so glad you put everybody else over. You're such a great leader. Now take everything. Now win everything. Thank you. That's how I feel about Kento. Of just, I want him to just, next year I want him to take everything. I just want him to take everything everywhere. Just take it all. But this is a great start.
And it's like 2024, his year of giving. 2025 is like his year of taking.
Yeah, I mean, and it's too of just like, you know, he's one of those people that I think on any given year is always in the conversation of top 10, top 15 best pound for pound wrestlers in the world. And I don't think that his catalog this year output says it, but if you've been watching his work and seeing what he has done and what he has accomplished, I think especially through the eyes of younger talent, it shows why he is one of the best wrestlers in the world. And so next year, I really hope from an accolade perspective. And also, I have a mission. My mission, we're getting Kento back in the dome in 2026. I see the signs. I see the vision. Tana's retirement. I'm not saying he's going to be in the retirement match, but Kento will be in the dome. We're getting him in the dome. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I have so many plans. It's going to be the best year of his career, everybody. Don't worry about it. I have it all planned.
You can see the future, you know.
Yes, I have it all planned out. Don't worry about it, guys.
No, I think a lot of people's like, oh, Kento Shi's been okay. It's pretty good. And it's like, he also won Champion Carnival. He won their most... popular tournament, and people forget about that. I forget about it all the time.
But that's what goats do. Like, literally last year, when my goat Kenny Omega was put together with literally staples and paperclips, still managed to pull out some of the best matches of all time. Who knew? Like, you know, it's just that's what goats do. Of just because you're so used to like back to back to back thing, even stuff that other people could like hang their hat on for the rest of their careers. For them, it's just like, oh, it's just Tuesday. You know, it's just Tuesday.
Ugh, he is one of a kind.
The best of the best, yeah. Truly.
We love our race. Let's talk about day three. Kuma Arashi defeated Rhea Inoue in 9 minutes and 40 seconds. Yuma Anzai and Rizin Hayato defeated Musashi and Hikaru Sato in 12 minutes and 27 seconds. Suwama and Hideki Suzuki defeated Shota Ishino and Dan Tamura in 9 minutes and 3 seconds. Yuma Aoyagi defeated Fumanori Abe in 17 minutes and 39 seconds. And in the main event, Kenta Miyahara, Jun Sato, Riki Honda, and Cyrus defeated David Way Smith Jr., Rei Sato, Rene Yabe, and Hokuto Omori in 18 minutes and 5 seconds. First of all, I just want to say, like, this show was great top to bottom. It was just 5 matches in a sold-out Shinkiba. It just went for over 2 hours. I think every match is kind of well worth your time. It's just so much fun. The crowd just makes it so much better. I just want to talk about the champion versus champion match first. I don't know why. When I saw the graphics, I thought it was for the Goro TV title. I'm like, okay, Yuma 4 belts incoming right now. It wasn't.
I thought so too.
Mm. Thank God I was in the early one. Yeah.
No, yeah, I thought so too. I said, oh. I said, oh, well. Said, this sounds very Yuma. I said, oh, okay, cool. But I was like, oh, I guess not. But, you know, hey, same vibes. We're all here. It's fun.
Like, despite that, I still thought it was a great match. You know, these two are just masters in the ring, so there was no doubt this was going to be anything but fantastic. Yuma was actually pretty smooth here. Like, when he sidestepped Abe and rolling through a pin attempt near the end, it just looked so fucking cool. Like, he wasn't so smooth when he was trying to copy Abe's move, but nobody is. Like, the only person that can do it is Abe. Wada had a bit of trouble with these two at the start because they just kept punching each other with closed fists. I don't know what that was about. They were just like, it reminded me of like just younger siblings, just wanted to just beat each other up. Yeah, Wada couldn't control it.
Yuma's so funny because like he's simultaneously like one of my favorite like actual wrestlers and then one of my favorite comedy wrestlers too at the same time, because like to this day I think that match that he had with Kuroshio Tokyo Japan earlier this year, the no DQ match, was one of the most underrated matches of the year and deserves so much more praise for what they did. But that's not the point here. This was really good. I love Fuminori Abe, and I think that him and Yuma have just such excellent chemistry. And they're just able to do a lot of different things with each other. I think when they get into the ring together. And so this was a lot of fun for me. I really did enjoy watching it.
Yeah, this show was basically tag team partners versus each other just before Tag League, because these two are tagging together in Tag League. Yeah, they just, you can tell they're having a good time. You can tell they're having fun. And if you checked out their socials, like whenever they're on a show together, they'll take a photo of each other. Some like are not so flattering. Some are like really close up of their faces. But yeah, check it out. It's really fun.
I love the fact that how they switch up their house shows. I think that's one thing that I do like compared to like in some other organizations. I think what we'll have is like the same faction versus faction, 8-man tags over and over again. I love that like All Japan switches up like the rotation, the like, you know, of who's facing each other. Like that was genius. Like for the main event, let's just have all these teams face each other.
Yeah.
And we're going to start off with June and Ray just staring each other down. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And it's so much fun and everybody's going to love it. And everybody did love it. And so I love it.
The main event, I just loved it so much. It just reminded me of the chaotic 6-man tags we used to get when we had Nextreme. So Kento, Yu Mahasuki, and Haito. Mm-hmm. They used to just give us the most crazy over the top 6-man tags on like just this random video on demand show that like Kento just goes all out for this. He screams the entire right. time. He's like trying to get into the ring when he doesn't need to be in the ring. He just goes so over the top, and like that's a reason why we love him. He came out this show with like this stuffed dog stuffed down his pants.
I said, is he in this Hiromu Takahashi era? Is this Daryl's cousin?
It's for like his movie because he's in a movie.
I know, yeah.
Promo character? What do you call it? Mascot. That's what I'm trying to think. It's like the mascot character. Yeah.
He just had it tucked in his pants like it was a kangaroo pouch. I was like, what a guy.
He stood there for a while and posed. He knew people wanted photos of that, and he gave it to them.
Absolutely. I think that is one thing that I respect Kento for is that he goes all out in every match. And I think that if anybody's been paying attention, I think it's paying off. Like, I'm not saying All Japan is nowhere near like the biggest promotion in the world, but the attendance numbers this year are definitely something to be proud of. They've been holding strong just about everywhere, but especially these Korakuen shows of having people having it just packed and loud and, you know, just the crowd being really invested. The people that are watching are very invested in what they're doing. And I think a large part of that is because Kento really doesn't phone it in at all. He's really given 100% every time he goes out there. And I think that he's such a leader to where I think it's really starting to rub off on, you know, like, it's really on the rest of the roster of anybody that you talk to that has ever been to an All Japan show. At minimum, what they're going to say is it was fun and it was engaging. And it was like, I had a blast of it. I can't say it's going to be a 5-star classic, you know, every match, but you will never walk away from All Japan, I think, in 2024 feeling like your time was wasted.
I actually really liked Hokuto in this match. He kind of tried to high-five his teammates. Nobody was interested. Like, nah, get away from me. He abused his power as leader of the Hokuto army. Like, he's like, you know, did his little salute thing with Cyrus when they were in the ring. And Cyrus is like, okay, you can hit me. Like, I'm not going to hit you. You're my leader. Do whatever you want. And then Cyrus broke up Kento's pin on Hokuto, even though they're on the same team. But everyone turned on Hokuto in the end because for some reason he like low blowed his teammates. I don't understand why he did that. And then everyone's like, yeah, nah, we're turning on you. That was strange.
Yeah, buddy.
But it was just so much fun. I think you can only have this type of match in Shinkiba. And one more thing I will say, if you haven't seen the pictures of Kento in his new movie where he has like long brown hair, go to his like Twitter and search for it because it's crazy. Like,
I need to go find it. Like, I hate when movies get released in Japan because I have to wait like what, 6 months to a year for somebody to sub it so I can watch it. Like, that's why I have like a download on my computer of Tana's movie, like My Dad is a Heel Wrestler.
That was great.
It was great. And I'm still waiting on the sub version of like the Mayu Iwatani Runaway Wrestler movie. So yes, I'm gonna go find that Kento one with like long hair. That sounds crazy thinking about it.
That was like a still from the movie that All Japan retweeted. And I'm looking at the photo thinking, like, why the hell did All Japan retweet this? And like my brain just slowly clicked. This is Kento. Like, what? This is like, no, this isn't Kento. Like, where's his like short hair? Where's like the ace gone? This is like long hair, grubby Kento, but it was him.
Madness. He have facial hair?
I think he had like a bit of stubble.
No way.
Yeah, it's strange. Ugh, but he's an ace, he's now a movie star. Like, what else?
What can't he do? That's the real question.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like weird videos I've seen him in, like what he can't do. Who knows? There'll be one thing he can't do one day, and it'll be like, he's human after all.
You know, one thing he can't do is retire. That's one thing he's not. He can't and won't be allowed to do. Retire. Correct.
He'll be there forever. He's gonna be like Fuji, 70 year years old, still going.
Yes. Well, yes, correct. And I'm going to be right there.
Let's move on to day four, the big show at Korakuen Hall. So
Whoop.
Ryu Inoue defeated Tashin Nagao in 7 minutes and 10 seconds. Seki Yoshioka, Hikaru Sato, and Yuko Miyamoto defeating Musashi, Shota Ishino, and Kyrisho Tokyo Japan in 9 minutes and 13 seconds. We had a Goro TV title match. Saigo Tachibana defeated Fumanori Abe in 10 minutes and 11 seconds. Jun Saito, Rei Saito, Niruki Doi, and Senyo Saito defeated Hokuto Mori, Kuma Arashi, Cyrus, and Harley Jackson in 9 minutes and 45 seconds. Kento Miyahara, Dan Tamura, and Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Yuma Anzai, Ryzen Haito, and Riki Honda in 11 minutes and 39 seconds. Hideki Suzuki, Tsuji Kondo defeated Suwama and Tsuji Ishikawa in 16 minutes and 31 seconds. And in the Triple Crown match, we had Yuma Aoyagi defeating Ren Ayabe in 29 minutes and 7 seconds. So take it away, Lyric.
Wow. Wow, lots happened here. I would say a good place to start is after the 6-man match when Yuma Anzai is already staring up at the lights, and just gets absolutely battered before in a way decides to take this picture of him and rip it apart, burn book style. Felt very Regina George of him. I love this. You want to know, it's so funny because as I was watching this, because I'd gotten a bit behind on All Japan, the only thing that I gotten to watch live, I would say, over the last couple of weeks was just the main event of this show. So I did get to watch Yuma versus Ren live, but everything else, like, I'm just watching all at one time, in preparation for this podcast. And I'm like, huh, I really need like a I want to see these young guys in a blood feud. Like, I love all this friendly competition that we've been doing. Like, it's been so cool, so fun, so great. But I need, where's the hatred? I need real hatred. I need a real blood feud. And as soon as I said that, all of a sudden I see this picture again. I said, oh, this is what we've been waiting for. This is what I wanted. This is what I wanted. But no, seriously, I love it because I feel like I really like Yuma Anzai. I think that we all really like Yuma Anzai. I think that he was a star from the day like we all saw him. Like, he was my rookie of the year. I had no problems with the Triple Crown going on him. I think he had a great run. But I do think that we don't all the way know him yet. Like, what is he like when, yes, the pressure of winning a title and, like friendly competition, but what is he like in a blood feud? What is he like, when he's pressed in this type of way? What is he like when he's challenged in these types of ways? Like, I think a lot of those things are still remaining to be seen by us and also by him as well. Just knowing how young he is. Like, he just started wrestling, what, 2 years ago? So you put all into perspective of, I think this is the perfect story for him right now. Obviously, he's the that is want to make sure that he remains this focal point, even if he doesn't have the Triple Crown right now. Which I think this is absolutely fabulous. And so this is exactly what I've been waiting to see. And also I'm interested to see too of like, how the younger guys who aren't in this Elpida mix, how they continue to like make a name for themselves and like stand out. Obviously, he's already teaming up with Kento. for all Asia belts, which we already talked about, which is going to be very fascinating. But yes, I really like this a lot.
I just love this. They could have left it and done nothing, but Inoue really like pushed it forward with coming to the ring, you know, beating up Anzai, ripping up that photo, because they've been going back and forth on Twitter because Inoue said, I'm not going to drink alcohol till the All Asia Belt Challenge. And then you see Anzai posting a photo of him drinking alcohol. So he's like winding him up.
That's so messy.
I just love this new asshole Inoue who just doesn't care.
I think we need to see that from somebody. And so I'm interested to see how he plays it. But I'm really a fan of this so far.
Talking about Inoue, I want to talk about his match he had because it was a debut match for Nagano and I just had a smile on my face the entire time.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
I'm like, I love this. I thought he did so great. Like, first off, the gear, the color, green. I absolutely loved it. Like, perfect for him. He was, like, fired up right from the get-go. He didn't stop. And like, you know, when you watch a rookie's debut match, you know what you're going to get. It's like the basic moveset, like maybe a drop kick here and there. But I thought he got like a little bit more than a rookie would get, like with the flash pin attempts, the kind of bit of chain wrestling. Like there was a sprinkle of that in the match. Like I just thought he did so well. There was like no nerves on him the entire time. And this was like his debut match.
He's scheduled for another match soon. I forgot who's the opponent. Is it Rin or is it? He has another singles match, I think.
I think he's facing Rin and also facing Yuma Oyagi. So.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. But yes, I agree. I think that this was a really good, I think, first impression. I think that, you know, All Japan, I don't think they have as many rookies, I think, as some other places, but it can be argued that the development that they're putting the ones that they have through is clearly working. it is clearly working. So I'm very interested and very excited to see long-term how this looks, but I was really pleased by that debut performance like you were.
And just hearing the crowd chant for Nagano was just so heartwarming because yeah, you just want to give them like a little bit more support on their debut. And the crowd did that. Yeah, there is still another rookie date to debut. He was supposed to debut in this. It was supposed to be a tag match, but he got concussed during training.
Yeah,
so his debut is pushed back. And also, All Japan has released applications for more rookies. So yeah, they're looking. So for Suwama's 20th anniversary match, I was on the edge of my seat. Just waiting to see who his partner would be. Like, it had to be Tsuji, but there was still doubt in my mind. Like, it's not going to be him. People were saying, oh, he hates the management. He's not going to come back. And it's everyone hates the management they work for. they still work for them. People were saying, Tanahashi. I think they would have announced it was Tanahashi, ahead of time.
But I think we do see that match, though, eventually. Mm. Just not this moment. I didn't think... at this point... Tanahashi is essentially, for all intents and purposes, he is Muto. For, you know, everything that he does between now and 2026 is going to be big. It's going to be advertised in advance. It's going to be a big deal. So, I didn't expect him for this show because of reasons like that. I do think that him and Suwama will cross paths again. That's why... I need Tana, please, 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 please bring All Japan people in for this retirement tour. Please. Suwama and Kento, please, 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 please. I don't know. I don't know a better way to say it. I will get on my knees if I have to. Please. 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 But no, I do think it eventually happens, but I knew it wasn't going to happen here. I'd been here. I will say, as somebody who's gotten into All Japan within the past, I would say, year and a half, it's kind of hard to know like who to trust, I think, sometimes. And so like I've been reading different reports and stuff, saying some people saying like, you know, well, Shuji's never coming back and you all are just gonna have to deal with it. And he hates everybody and he's never coming back. He hates y'all so bad. I'm like, ah. Then there's some people being like, well, yes, Shuji might, he might, you know, have, you know, some conflicts with the management, but at the end of the day, you know, him and Suwama's relationship is much deeper than that. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Listen to those people, yeah.
I'm just like, okay, guys, cool, cool, cool. Then there's also the part of me of just, I've already been upset with how Suwama's anniversary had been held in the first place, of just like, because like, you know, he had had the match with the Triple Crown match with Anzai, and then he says that well, I'll never challenge for the Triple Crown again. He's like, actually, yeah, I lied.
Guys, yeah, I'm lied. Just joking, guys.
He said, surprise, I'm gonna do it again. And then, like, you know, even when he had that Triple Crown match with Anzai, it was like barely advertised, and it was just so, and I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, this is Suwama. Give him everything, all the things. And so I think I was just already, I'm just at this point, I didn't even care about who the partner was. I'm just like, they better treat this like it's the biggest thing on earth. But that pop for Shuji was amazing. And I've been keeping up with Shuji's stuff outside of All Japan. I think he's been doing some awesome stuff in NOAH and DDT. The match he had with Kazusada Higuchi in the King of DDT tournament this year. Chef's kiss. Type of chops that make you feel like you're getting kicked in the chest again, 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 and again, and again. It's amazing. But this is special. It really made me smile. I loved, like, halfway through the match where, like, the roster just, they all launched themselves at Suwama. Then they launched Shuji at him. You know, even down to, you know, Fuchi and the videos from Tenryu and Muto. I actually wanted more, but it was okay. It was good enough. It was good enough. I wanted more. Like, I wanted streamers. I wanted actually everybody to just like build like a shrine to him, like in real time. But you know, beggars can't be choosers. This was good.
Ugh, like I got teary-eyed when Shuji's music hit. I was like, thank God. Like, oh, I just love the guy so much. Like, when he was in All Japan, he did so much for the company and he was so respected. You can just tell like everyone loved him. And like,
absolutely.
You know, like he has Violent Giants with Suwama, which is just like a legendary tag team in All Japan. But it was just so much fun. I absolutely love this match. Like, I could not stop smiling. Suwama found the only way to get himself booed at his anniversary show, and that was to hit Nagano with a chair for some reason. Like, why did he do that to the poor guy? You had like Hideki Suzuki and Hikaru Sato and Yuko Miyamoto were at ringside, and they were like, you know, comforting the poor guy. Like, you're okay. Suwama's just a big bully. But yeah, like the thing you said about the whole roster coming in and just hitting Suwama, that was great. And like Nagano coming at the end, and he got like the biggest pop, like the whole match besides from Shuji.
I really, anytime that Suwama and Hideki Suzuki are in the same vicinity, I always have a great time. Every time, whether they're on the same side, opposite sides, it doesn't matter. They are just so entertaining for me.
Yeah, like the ending, like you said, with Fuchi, Wada, they gave him flowers. Tenryu, Keiji Muto, you know, sent a little message. And I think he said, like, they're going to have another celebration in his hometown. So this is just, like, part one of it. It probably won't be as big as this, obviously.
That's what we need, because this is Suwama, guys. Thank you. This is not the trash man. This is Suwama. Give him everything.
Yeah, Suwama's like a star. And people saying like he's not, that's wrong.
People, my thing is too, is I think is even, I think that wrestling fans need to get out of their nostalgia for 5 seconds, because I think that we have glorified certain eras of certain promotions to the point to where we can't acknowledge greatness anywhere else. And what I mean by that is, like, as it relates to All Japan, I think, like, of course the Four Pillars are just absolutely incredible and they revolutionized wrestling. However, All Japan didn't die after that. You know, All Japan didn't die after the Noah split. All Japan, it might not have been as popular, but in those years, there were people, very important people, who were still there, who's still carrying it, and the work that they did still matters. And honestly, the work, and if you look at some of the matches that, you know, Suwama has pulled for his anniversary, you know, from throughout his career, guess what? Those matches still hold up. He's an absolute legend. I think his Champion Carnival match with Tanahashi is one of the best matches I've ever seen in my entire life.
100%.
And honestly, for both men, probably a top 10, if not top 5 match in their catalogs, individually, from two different promotions. But it's one of those things, too, of just, I think that wrestling fans sometimes really need to, I think you should be aware of, like, these golden periods, right, of wrestling. I think even All Japan Women is one of those good examples of, yes, Manami Toyota and Aja Kong are absolutely incredible, and what they did during the 90s during that time was absolutely incredible. But guess what? Women's wrestling didn't begin nor end there. You know, there's so many other things. Same thing when we talk about, like, Rock Austin and all the stuff that people still hold in high esteem of. Wrestling keeps going. Wrestling has always kept going, and it's important to acknowledge people who have been a part of that. And Suwama, I think, is just one of those shining examples of a true ace of a promotion. And, like, you know, rain or shine, whether the Korakuen shows are sold out or whether it's, you know, only a couple hundred people in attendance, like, you talk about somebody who's been consistent and shows up for the company and shows up for the roster for decades. You know, that's pretty rare, especially nowadays. You got to think, when people can just jump from company to company to company just based off money of, he's the one of the last of a dying breed. And as we're seeing, that breed is dying off very quickly. Just across the industry, so many people from that class, you know, of wrestlers starting to retire and, you know, just really step away from the limelight. So, yes, Suwama deserves all the things. A real star.
Absolutely no hate to Tanahashi, because he's great. Like, I love him. But people praise him for carrying New Japan on his back. Suwama did the exact same thing, and he doesn't get that praise.
100%. I think, and also the thing is, too, of just Tanahashi still got to carry New Japan on his back. So at the end of the day, at default, it's still the largest company in Japan. Mm. You know, you're still working with, you're still starting at one. Even though, like, it was dark, you're still starting at one. All Japan was starting at 3, 4, maybe 5 minimum, because you have to think about how many promotions were still out there and still being competitive, you know, during that time of, it's difficult for anybody, you know, and that's why I think both of these men should be held in very high esteem. But what Suwama did, very few people, if any, can really carry the weight of what he's been carrying for years. And when you look at how All Japan is still alive, and look at the roster now. This, and I think we talked about this a little bit off camera, but there was this perception for the longest that All Japan was just old guys. And so look at how they've completely transformed their reputation. And that comes from leadership, that comes from foresight, and that comes from, you know, having that type of institutional knowledge that comes from having an ace who has been there since the dark period, you know, through now. And so, yeah, I think that we should praise them both. I think Mayor Fuji is also one of those people from NOAH. I put those three in such high regard: Suwama, Mayor Fuji, and Tanahashi.
Just, I got 2 more points in this match. If you haven't, we mentioned it, but if you haven't seen the Suwama Tanahashi match, go watch it. It's on YouTube, so it's free. You have no excuse not to watch it.
Yes.
If you haven't seen Tanahashi booed, he's hating this match. He's, like, booed out of the building at some points.
He's such a good heel. He's such a good heel. It's scary. Mm. It's scary how good, and you know the fact that he's rarely gotten to do it during his career. So I feel like he took that opportunity and said, let me savor this. I'm going to savor it. And I think also, too, it's one of those things, if you watch those matches, you would never think that there's ever been such thing as a dark time for All Japan. Like, the way that that crowd is, it's absolutely rabid. And this is after, you know, the exodus and all the stuff like that. But that match also stands as proof of just All Japan wasn't just silent and dead for 20 years after, walked away. There were still very high points. There was still very good wrestling, really good star power. Like, being able to even get somebody like Tanahashi in Champion Carnival, was a big deal. And so it's one of those things that's just really, it gives you a really well-rounded picture of what wrestling actually is for wrestling fans who are looking for stuff like that. So I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. There's a whole lot of matches that he chose. I think there's one up there of, versus Yoshihiro Takayama. There's Go Shiozaki, one of my other favorites. One of my absolute favorites of all time is in there. He did good. I will say sometimes I hate when wrestlers pick their like favorite matches from promotion. I'm like, nobody wants to see this. Freaking Kenny Omega, he picked a match versus Toriyana and said, "Oh, you think of you?" Please don't piss me off, Kenneth. Please don't piss me off. Suwama really picked really good for his matches. So if you haven't seen him, please go look.
The other thing I want to say is Suwama scared at Anzai. So if you like Anzai, you can't not like Suwama because that's all Suwama there.
Exactly. Correct. Anzai's like, he's like Suwama / Saruta. I feel like that's where he's going. That's where he's aiming for. It's very clear. Like, that's, I think, who he wants to be to All Japan.
I think we've done enough Suwama love. There's never enough Suwama love, but for this podcast, we've got to move on.
Yes, we do. We have a main event to talk about.
I will have a bonus episode of just Suwama love. Just wait for it, because he deserves it. But the main event, I love the pre-match promo they have. I think All Japan does great videos. Like,
Renayabe
just looks so regal in his outfit and like the chair he was sitting on. And Yumi's in jail.
What a guy.
What do we expect from Yuma? Like, I do love the part where he was like with the announcer and he left the Triple Crown with him. And it's like, okay, what's it like? Why is he leaving the belt? And then he comes out with the original three belts. I just thought that was such a cool moment. Like, the way they did that was perfect. I love it.
It's so funny. So when this match was happening, airing live, I'm getting ready for work. By the time it came on, I'm getting ready for work. So I just woke up. I woke up late. I found out this show was on and I overslept, but if I turn my computer on right now, I can watch the main event. And so like I turned it on, getting ready for work. And then I see the three belts. I said, oh my gosh, I'm screaming at 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, oh my God, he split the belts. This, I already knew we were going to have a great time. Listen, I do love the unified Triple Crown belt, but nothing beats that look of the three belts. Nothing. This is fantastic. The match could have been like straight garbage after that, and I still would have given it like at least a 3.5 off principle because of that. Just because, like, I'm sorry, guys, he split the belts. There's nothing
one star for each belt.
It's just like the aura, it just popped out. The aura popped out. There's nothing else I could do. I'm sorry.
The belts add something else. Yeah.
I don't know if they've been, if they've had some maintenance or something, but the belts look good. Like they look good. Cause like for a while they were looking like, they were on life support. Like the world tag belts are on life support, but that's okay. But no, they look good too. So I think that was another thing. Somebody made the point, and I'm not sure if this is like true or not, but maybe you can have some insight into it. They said like Yuma was wearing Baba's belt around his waist, and typically wrestlers don't do that. But he might have gotten like some special permission to do so or so, but I'm not enough of an expert to be able to like deny that.
I don't know, I have to go back and look at that, but I think Yuma is very in tune with like All Japan's history and he respects All Japan a lot. I don't think he'd do that if it was wrong or piss someone off. But yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't see any uproar about it. So hopefully it was right. But I thought this match was great. I really, really enjoyed it. We've had two Yuma versus Ren matches and they were okay. So I was kind of a bit, not worried, but just, you know, oh, is this match going to be good? Is it going to be bad? But no, it was fantastic. I thought Ren just absolutely smashed it in here. He's just, even from like his Raw Road win against Honda to his match against Yuma, I feel like he's grown so much in that tiny little bit of time he had. He's like, he's just getting so much better. The double arm suplex and the nonstop elbows in the corner were just so Tsuji coded. It's just like, it's him respecting Tsuji because Tsuji brought him into the company. He said backstage, like, he wants to win when Tsuji was there. He loves, like, Tsuji, though. I had a tag team. I think it was called, like, Height Heights or something like that. Like, some silly name like that. So Tsuji was his guy.
But yeah. I truly think that if you want to learn how to be an efficient big man, I do think that All Japan is the place to go. And I think that that's why I really wanted Young Blood to go on excursion in All Japan. I wanted Oscar Loeb and Yuto Nakashima to go because I think that they could have really become, like, imagine Young Blood versus the Saito brothers. I feel like they would have just became so amazing. But I do think that, like, you know, Ren Ayabe, that All Japan has just been the perfect fit for him. And I cannot believe that the same guy that sat in that ring and, you know, Kento invites him to come into, you know, in All Japan. I cannot believe that that guy is the guy that we're seeing right now. I remember opening night of Champion Carnival. I said, what the hell? I said, is this 7-foot Okada? What are we doing? I said, what are we doing here? And I like to think of this period of like late October through the end of December. This is what I call, we're licking envelopes. And what that means is this is where you like finalize all of your picks for, you know, rest of the year, match of the year, et cetera. You know, you're making a list, checking it twice, submitting it. And this match was where I licked the envelope for most improved. Ren Ayabe has been my pick for most improved since honestly the first night of Champion Carnival. But this was the final solidifier in that case of, I don't see how you put anybody ahead of him. He has completely transformed my perception of him as a wrestler, as a performer, and honestly, his star quality. I thought that he was just going to be like, your run-of-the-mill wrestling giant, you know, big chops here, all this here, just, you know, a couple slams. Woo, shelf life of probably a couple years of being dominant and then doing whatever else. But he is a legitimate top guy. And it is very evident that he's continuing to improve. He looked amazing in there. I was 100% on board with him winning Royal Road. I'm glad that he won. And I'm even glad that he lost here. I think that it doesn't make him any less of a star. I think, you know, shout out to everybody who said that Yuma was going to drop the title. You're losers. Yeah, listen, some people are just like, well, I'm not feeling this Yuma rain. I don't care. I don't care. Yuma can hold that title until next year, and you won't hear a peep from me. I was just complaining 4 months ago, asking why was he having like match after match after match after match with Kuroshio. I was just like, what happened to Yuma? And then they put this triple crown back on him, and I shut up. And so I'm going to continue to shut up. I'm having a great time. This is amazing. But no, seriously, Ren Ayabe, I think, has been absolutely outstanding. And I'm excited to see how he just continues. I genuinely had no idea he was going to be this good. Like, I had no idea. But I'm really glad that he's so hungry and the potential is through the roof for that guy. And these two had great chemistry, much better than their previous matches. Much better. Yeah, I just loved everything about this. This is awesome.
I don't think there's like enough to say about how Ren Ayabe has improved. It's just, insane. Like, I saw him, his first match in All Japan, and I was like, it was okay. Like, he's only wrestling just under 2 years, I think, when he first showed up in All Japan. And it's just like, okay, this guy's fine, you know. And then he starts teaming with Tsuji. I'm like, okay, this is a cool team. Like, they're both high at high. They're both tall guys, you know. And then Tsuji leaves. And then people were like, oh, that's why Ren Ayabe didn't sign at the start of the year. That's why we didn't see him come out in the tracksuit. And then Ren Ayabe just loses, you know, match after match after match. And then he asks Kento to join All Japan. I'm like, okay, finally, he's signed with the company. And then he comes out in that outfit, in that pink hair, and I was obsessed. Like,
in pink hair, sequin jacket from head to toe. He now has generational riz. He looks Kento Miyahara in the face. He now has sarcasm. He has charisma. He has riz. We all these things we didn't know he had. Then he pins Kento in night one of Champion Carnival. I was so gagged because this is the first Champion Carnival I'd ever gotten to watch live. So, like, being able to watch it, like, you know, like in real time. And so I said, wow, wow, this is amazing. I said, this is incredible.
I think Kento has won day one Champion Carnival in like 5 years. So when Ren Ayabe came out like that, I'm like, holy shit, he's beating Kento. Like, his second official All Japan match as a signed wrestler, he's pinning Kento. Like, holy shit. Like, you know, you can't get any bigger than that.
Nope.
And then he wins Royal Road. It's like,
I genuinely, when I say I'm so pleased, for the most part, like, obviously I said, like, my reservations about Hayato, but I've been really pleased by Elpida. I think that All Japan, they deserve a lot of credit for the way that they've developed those guys from point A to point Z, all three of them, from Anzai, Ayabe, and Honda, look completely different than they did at the beginning of this year. Yeah, I think Anzai was still in his like rookie gear up until Champion Carnival. Like, they really relaunched all of those guys mid-year, and look at them now. And there's very few young guys in their generation, I think, across Japanese wrestling, who can honestly be seen as equals to them or even superior. Like, I think the only people I could realistically put with or ahead of them at this point is maybe, you know, Kaito Kiyomiya, of course, and Rihei Oiwa. I think Kosei Fujita has a lot of potential. But for the most part, as far as seeing results, I think we talk about a lot of these guys having potential. But as far as results, All Japan has a lot of these guys by a mile. And it's not close.
Yeah, no.
No.
They're just great. And they like smash it out of the park every single time they need to.
Absolutely. They rise to the occasion every single time. I think it's one thing to like push your youth and say like, oh, this is the new generation. These are the guys you're supposed to support. And how many times we've seen these people get pushed and like they'll just. They'll just terrible. Just awful when they get the opportunity. But I can't honestly say like I've seen an opportunity wasted by this group of guys. Like, even Anzai, when he won the Triple Crown, everybody was like, oh, well, his reign is going to be cursed because of how he won it from Nakajima. His reign is going to be cursed. And he's not going to bounce back from this. And he's still developing. And what are we going to do? And guess what? Put on his jumbo Saruta jacket, and he's been perfectly fine ever since. He's been had an amazing reign, had some amazing matches. I think it's just, you can tell these, what I love most about this group of guys, I think Ren Ayabe is a really good example, is their hunger shines through. You can tell that they're all very hungry, that they want to be the best in the world. They have very high expectations of themselves, for themselves, for their peers, for the company, and they perform like it. And I think part of that is because they've had such a great example in Yuma Ayagi, who's been a great example for the younger guys of how to be a star and, you know, how to uplift others as you get there. Yuma's just incredible.
He's training the new generation.
And he doesn't get the credit he deserves for how good he is of he's one of those guys who should always be in that conversation that we talk about, like with Kaito, with Takeshita. I mean, we saw it earlier this year. Anybody who saw that DDT match, Yuma Yagi versus Takeshita, amazing. Yeah. Incredible. Amazing. He doesn't get the credit he deserves, but he's amazing.
Yeah, I've been singing Yuma's praises since 2020. Like, he's my guy. He's my favorite wrestler right now. And I just think, people kind of push him to the side, especially when you look at All Japan. It's Kenta Miyahara and Yuma Anzai now. And she's like, mm-hmm. What about the other Yuma? Like, he's just...
I feel like we skipped, a full... We skipped because, and honestly, I think it's really the three of them, but there's no Yuma Anzai without Yuma Yagi somewhere in the middle in there. But, yeah. For I feel like for smaller promotions, people can't even grasp that many names when they're not actually keeping up with the promotion. They're just like, okay, well, I know two people from there. Okay, yeah. That's more than that.
That's why this podcast exists, to help people. Yuma Yagi is good.
He's great.
So his next opponent isn't one of the younger generation. It's actually Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Is.
The thing is, I know people are upset with this and they want Honda to challenge, but Honda was actually supposed to be in America during the Hokkaido tour, but it got canceled because of the hurricane. So someone had to challenge for the Triple Crown, and Davey Boy was going to challenge at some point. It was always going to happen. So this is his challenge in the Hokkaido tour.
I'm honestly I don't really care too bad of just, I like Davey. Is he one of my favorites? No, but I like Davey. And also too of just, hey, we got still a couple weeks to go before, those bigger shows, I think towards the new year and stuff. So that's what I'm really most focused on. Who's going to challenge then? That's more so what I care about. I don't really care. For this tour, I think it's going to be a great match, good defense. And also, I'm here for Yuma getting all the defenses. He can defend every single day. He could defend against, I don't know, Tekabana tomorrow. I don't care. I want Yuma to get all the defenses possible because who knows what's going to happen during this New Year show. I'm interested. I'm interested. But I have no, foresight about what's going to happen at this point too. Do they go back to the, do they revisit Anzai? Do they go back to Kento? I don't know. I actually genuinely don't know. Especially since Ren lost after winning the Royal Road. So we shall see what the New Year show looks like this year.
It has to be Honda. He beat him in the Royal Road.
I would be happy to see it. But I think it just depends on if they feel like it's a big enough match.
Yeah.
Because, you have to think, last year, New Year's Eve, you had Kento Miyahara versus Katsuhiko Nakajima. It doesn't get bigger than that, And I think that, too, so maybe, and that's also a question that I want to know, too. Are they going to bring an outsider in? Is it actually going to come from All Japan? Just because All Japan isn't the only one who does it, but for that full week, everybody is bringing in just straight outsiders, Noah, New Japan, Stardom, Teach, Marigold, there's going to be outsiders. 9 times out of 10, you're going to see so many people from so many promotions all over the world pop up in Japan that week. And so it just depends. I even have to say, if I'm a booker and I know that everybody, all of my peers are putting out their best shows, do I think that Yuma Yagi versus Ruki Honda is the biggest match that I have at my disposal for New Year's Eve?
Mm.
For the main event.
I'm trying to think who else, because we just had Kento, we just had Anzai. I don't think they'll do Suwama. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't think it should be Suwama either, yeah. So we'll see. Maybe it's somebody else from the outside, bring somebody in. I don't know. Maybe what I would like. Something crazy. Yuma versus Mokuzuki. Like,
that would
I
be
think
good.
honestly, I think they should need to bring somebody in. Like, honestly, truly, because like for those shows, you're not just marketing to your fans, you're marketing to everybody's fans. Like, you know, the amount of people who might just go to All Japan just because they're in town for the Tokyo Dome show, but they just want to see some wrestling. So, you know, like, give people a dream match. I don't know, like something special. I've given up on the Nakajima dreams. Who knows? He's in Glee Land. It's above me now. But I'm just trying to think of like a legitimate dream match of.
My dream would be, because I'm trying to think of freelancers. His tag team partner, Naoya Nomura. He comes back. They face off. Oh my gosh. I just want Naoya back so much. Jeez, that'd be great. Because Naoya's just a fantastic wrestler. Like his matches he's had with Kento, like 10 out of 10. He and Yuma had a really good Royal Road match a couple years ago.
Or, you know, too, of just like, I would love to see a young generation versus a young generation match, like Mokuzuki Jr. versus, like, you know, Yume Anzai or something like that. Like, get, like, you know, some of these younger guys are even like, you know, Kaito and Yuma had that match earlier this year for the, what was it? Was it the TV Asahi's? They had a match earlier this year for some anniversary.
Yeah.
Or maybe they can run that back here, you know, or something. I just, give us a dream. Give us a dream. Somebody book Takeshita, please. Please, 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 please. Oh my gosh, Yuma versus Takeshita. You know he's going to be there. You know he's going to be in Japan officially that entire week. Give me the rematch. Give me the Yuma Yagi versus Konosuke Takeshita rematch in All Japan. Give it to me, please. I've been begging for like, I feel like the past hour and a half, so many different things. But yeah, I want them to go the dream match route to, you know, of because the thing is, Ayagi versus Honda is always going to be there. They can run it 2 days later if they want to. And, you know, what is it? Because they typically run a show like 2 days after that during that week. Yeah. Like All Japan runs like almost three times during that whole, you know, New Year's area thing. So there's plenty of space. So, but for at least one of those things, dream match. Thank you.
I'll always hold in my heart Yuma Aoyagi versus Naoya Nomura, because Yuma said like, when I win the Triple Crown we'll face, and now he's like, yeah, I'm out with a leg injury, like, see ya.
Another person that I actually really 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 enjoy, I think he went back on excursion, don't know why, but Yoshiki Inamura, Yoshi from Noah, I would love to see him do some stuff with All Japan. I think that he would really mesh well with that group. Honestly, if it was up to me, if you're gonna send him an excursion, send him on excursion in domestic. We've seen what domestic excursions look like. Of I don't see what more he can learn from Progress, but
that was
whatever.
Weird. Yeah, he came to Japan last year and he faced Kento and he had a good match.
Give him back. I want him back. Yoshi, I want him back. The stuff that he was doing this year, absolutely incredible. I want him back.
It's one of those wait and see moments, and I hate waiting and seeing because it's just like, just tell us now.
And it sucks because I don't think I'm going this year, so I genuinely, I'm just going to have to wait from home and sit here.
Oh, I my will nervous be there. And all I want to see is Yuma walking as Triple Crown champion because I didn't get to see it last year. Like, one year, I have to see it.
You're so lucky. You're so lucky. Have the best time. Please have some fun for me. And also, if the main event is really good, do not be shocked if I try to like send you money and be like, please buy me a towel.
I will buy you all the towels. Don't worry.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So that was the month of October. We're going to move on to Tag League now, which is coming up. So we had a bit of a surprise entrance to the final two spots of Tag League. On day four, after the Saito Brothers match, former DDT wrestler Makoto Oishi came to the ring, declared himself the Saito Brothers' biggest fan, and also said he's taking one spot in Tag League. And he said, since the Saitos love Belgian beer and chocolate so much, he brought in a Belgian partner, Mike D. Vietcho. He basically said he loves them, but he also wants to fight them. So Tag League is finally complete, and just a recap of the teams. You got Block A, Shoto Ishino and Dan Tamura. Hokuto Mura and Kuma Arashi, Daisuke Sakamoto and Kengo Mashimo, Jun Saito and Rei Saito, Musashi and Seki Yoshioka, Ryzen Hayato and Yuma Anzai, and Makoto Oishi and Mike D. Vecchio. In B block, we have Yuma Aoyagi and Fuminori Abe, Hikaru Sato and Yuko Miyamoto, Cyrus and Hartley Jackson, Kyushu Tokyo Japan and Seigo Tachibana, Kenta Miyahara and David Way Smith Jr., Riki Honda and Ren Ayabe, and then Suwama and Hideki Suzuki. Do you have any idea who's winning Tag League?
No, but I think this is going to be so much fun. I think it's going to be so much fun. I wouldn't be shocked if it went to Honda and Ayabe. Wouldn't be shocked. I do think that the team of Yuma Yagi and Fuminori Abe is going to be so much fun. So much fun. Same with Suwama and Hideki Suzuki. I mean, I would never count out the Saito brothers, you know, to win Strongest Tag League. Yeah, I'm just kind of happy to be here. I don't have a clear idea of who's going to win, but I'm really excited to see. And I think especially, I do think that B block from a talent perspective is definitely stacked. That's where the real hitters are. I think that's where some of the best matches, pure matches, are probably going to come from, B block.
I kind of think A block.
Really?
Just with Sekimoto and Mashimura as a team. Yeah. God damn, that's going to be so good. Like them against Ishino and Den. I can't wait. Like that's going to be like a must watch match.
Wait, Sekimoto from Big Japan?
Yeah.
Holy shit. No, wait, that's right. I'm going to change my answer. You got me. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, points have been made.
Like B block, like you have like Kento, you have Yuma, you have Suwama, but it's just like, but Sekimoto is in A block. And then like I think they're calling it BJW2AW team or something like that. Them against the Saito brothers, it's just going to rule. Do you have like any like must watch teams? Like if someone's watching Tag League, who would you say to watch from Block A and who would you say to watch from Block B?
Well, I think the Sekimoto team is pretty one to watch. And also, like I said, the Saitos, I think, are always going to be one to watch. And then for B Block, I would say Honda and Ayabe. I think just because Elpida right now seems to be the axis of all Japan. And so they're the ones to watch, see, you know, things revolve around them. But also Kenta and Yuma are always worth keeping an eye on in this tournament. Especially now that they're on separate teams.
Yeah.
Separate teams this year. So, you know. But it's a really good lineup.
Yeah, I think like basically the same with you. I think Ishino and Dan are gonna be a great team. They kind of wrestle the same. I thought Dan was kind of turning into like a mini Ishino when Ishino was tagging with Suwama. It was like just so cool to see. The Saito brothers, like, they don't put on a bad tag match. For B block, you know, you got Yuma Aoyagi, Fuminori Abe. They're both fantastic wrestlers. I think, like you said, Honda and Ayabe, definitely watch them. A team I actually really enjoyed in Tag League last year was Kurushiya and Tachibana. I thought they were so entertaining. Skip the entrance. Skip, like, the five-minute entrance, but just watch the match.
I know. They are really underrated, like, in the ring when they actually get serious.
Yeah. The schedule is out. I am going to translate it to English soon, so just keep a look on my socials. It'll come up soon. But now we're moving on to match of the month and wrestler of the month. So who is your wrestler of the month?
My wrestler of the month is our Triple Crown champion, Yuma Yagi. He's number one. Deal with it. And my match of the month is his defense versus Ren Ayabe.
Wrestler of the month is Yuma Aoyagi as well. I just thought his match with Abe and Ayabe were great. You know, he brought back the original three Triple Crown belts. His promo was him in jail. Like, it couldn't be anyone else this month. And my match of the month is actually Suwama's 20th anniversary match. I just freaking love that match.
That's a really good pick.
Having Tsuji back, I can't pick any other match this month, really.
That's real. You know, and I will say that was my second choice. Those were the two that I was deciding between. So yeah, no, I completely understand.
So we have come to an end to the episode. Thank you all for listening and for your support. You can find me on Twitter at Sister Jessie and Railroad72. And the podcast also has an Instagram, so go check that out.
Great, guys. You can find me at Lyric Wrestling on the Twitters and the Instagrams. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel that I need to update really, really soon at Lyric Swinton. And yeah, I think that's really it. You can find like all my podcasting and writings and stuff there, or you can just hear me yap and complain about wrestling or whatever else is happening in the world too. So that's great.
No, Lyric's great. Like, please follow her on everything, basically, like I do. Just thank you so much for joining me. Like, it's just been so fun.
Yes, please, please invite me back. Please. I love talking about All Japan. It really has been such a comfort to me, I would say, over the past year. You know, if you are familiar with me, you notice that there's a lot of discourse that I have to always feel through when about other promotions that I just don't have to deal with here. And so I'm always grateful, really grateful. Good old All Japan. Really appreciative of it.
So thank you all once again. I've been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Do you have interest in Joshi, specifically stardom? And you've asked yourself, where do I start? How do I learn? Well, good news for you. The Count Out Podcast Network has a podcast dedicated to the history of World Wonder Ring Stardom that can help you learn, watch, and enjoy. This is the Stardom Road Podcast, hosted by Trent Brewer and myself, Scott Evans. Every other week, we dive into the history of wrestling's biggest women's promotion today. We have you covered.
Stardom Road is the perfect podcast for new fans looking to learn all about the deep history of the wrestlers, events, and championships they're seeing for the very first time, or for those who have been there from the very beginning simply looking to remember the good old days. So join us for multi-episode deep dives into the history of key figureheads like Orisa Hoshiki and smaller discussions on key role players like Chris Wolfe. Find out about the lineage of championships like the High Speed Belt or how the various tournaments have changed over the years. And of course, spend time with us discussing important topics like how to costume change battle royals or the very peak of the company.
You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Join us on the Stardom Road.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.